As the world's leading economies meet today in Europe, is it all about Greece?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Germany's finance minister said today Greece should stick to the original European rescue plan and avoid the prospect of a referendum that could throw the bailout into doubt. That on the day that finance ministers and leaders from the world's 20 biggest economies are in Cannes, France, for a summit on the global economy. David Shore is foreign policy program officer for the Stanley Foundation, and he's joining us now from Cannes. Hi, David.
Good morning.
So Greece, of course, dominating the headlines at the meeting, too.
The Greek referendum is just the latest wrinkle into a situation that already had a huge amount of uncertainty. But the bottom line question is, are the Europeans going to be able to handle this themselves, or are they going to need help? Aside from which way Greece goes, you know, there's this question of how the resources to build this firewall add up.
A new plan for a referendum in Greece. I know last week's big European deal was supposed to be the solution to the debt problems. How does this new flare-up, this referendum called, change the agenda?
I think they'll still run through the longer-term agenda items that they'd planned on. But a lot of the attention is going to have to deal with the Eurozone debt crisis and an effective response because, of course, the global financial markets are watching.
David Shore with the Stanley Foundation joining us from Cannes. David, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let's do the numbers. The German and French shares are up at the moment, but the British market is down just a tad. Asia's stocks were all over the place today as well. Computer maker Lenovo, the world's second biggest PC brand, said profit was up 88% for its last 3 months, but Lenovo also said flooding in Thailand may weaken its outlook. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave back 297 points to close at 11,657. When it comes to the sheer size of the economy, as measured by the gross domestic product, the United States leads the world. But GDP may not be the best way to answer the question of how we're really doing. Today, the United Nations releases a new measure that shows the U.S. is not number one. Marketplace's David Brancaccio tracks a lot of different ways to gauge economic health with his The Economy 4.0 series, and he's with us now. Good morning, David.
Morning, Steve.
So the U.N.'s Human Development Index?
Yeah, it starts with a family's income, then looks at a health indicator, life expectancy at birth, then factors in years of education. If you look at it this way, the United States does okay, number four in the world, behind the usual suspects. Care to guess, Steve, who the usual suspects are?
One of the Scandinavian countries, I would imagine, right? They're always tops on those lists.
Yeah, you got it right. Norway is number one. We're behind Australia, Netherlands, and Norway. But here's the thing. The Human Development Index report also has a section factoring in the gap between rich and poor within the countries. Here's Bill Orme of the UN's Development Program.
It's quite striking that the United States, of the advanced industrial countries, the one that is most radically affected by an inequality adjustment. That is to say, it drops 19 spots.
19 spots, bringing us down to number 23 in the world.
But isn't growing income inequality, you know, the way things are going right now, the way the world?
Well, there are countries making progress here. Today's figures show that some emerging market countries, Brazil, Chile, Argentina, are actually reducing their income gaps.
Emerging markets, but what about the poorest countries, though?
The Human Development Index data has some good news there. If current trends continue, health, education, income, by mid-century, by 2050, the majority of countries on the planet will be doing as well then as the top 25% countries are doing now.
If trends continue, what does that mean?
Well, you just saw right through me, Steve. The UN says current trends are very unlikely to continue because of climate change. Deforestation, rising sea levels would hit the poorest countries especially hard. But the report says that countries that do have high standards of living, do rank high in this Human Development Index, can still do something about the carbon dioxide linked to climate change. They point to Denmark that's making a lot of strides in that area.
Marketplace's David Brancaccio with our Economy 4.0. David, thank you.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by PBS. presenting The Fabric of the Cosmos, a new Nova series with physicist and author Brian Greene, starts tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS. By Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
The Fox TV show The X Factor has been struggling in the ratings this season, so tonight producers are launching an experiment with social media in an effort to attract viewers and hopefully more ad revenue. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Starting tonight, fans of The X Factor will have more to tweet about than Judge Simon Cowell's hijinks.
Okay, have you ever performed in public before?
Now, viewers may be able to vote for contestants on the show using direct Twitter messages.
This is just the next step.
Carl Howe of market research firm Yankee Group says this type of interactivity was pioneered by another show that featured Simon Cowell, American Idol. That show allows viewers to call, text, and vote online.
Making it interactive is a way to really bind the viewer to the show.
And with Twitter, potentially connect them with marketers. Twitter forces users to keep their thoughts short and to the point, and Howe says that makes it easy for advertisers to target users. And it may be gold for Fox. Barry Liebert is the author of Social Nation.
Because if they're capturing my Twitter handle, they'll be able to contact me and see if I want to engage in other shows that they may be running.
And 13 million viewers, that's something to tweet about. I'm Jennifer Collins. For Marketplace.
Finally, a woman in Berlin went to the butcher to pick up a bag she pre-ordered of cold cuts and veal steaks. Instead, she got a bag filled with 2,000 euros. Apparently, the bags look similar, and an employee gave her the wrong one. The woman said she was flabbergasted, and when she finally informed the butcher of the error, she got a 100 euro reward and a basket of sausages. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal with Marketplace.
And I'm Justin Rowlatt with the BBC World Service's Business Daily. Tune in for a joint venture of sorts.
A look at why everything is global, from what's happening in the Eurozone
to what's happening next door.
When people place orders a month in advance, I have to say, okay, it might be this price, but it could be this price if the euro goes back up.
All that and more from Marketplace
and the BBC
on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.